Good morning. It's great to be with you. I'm excited to bring the Word of God today. I have a real expectancy for what God's going to do. And it's interesting, you know, I feel very confident as a preacher when in the prayer meeting, the person bringing the prayer meeting speaks about scriptures that I'm going to share about in my sermon, that when the MC does communion, shares about things I'm going to share about in my sermon, and the worship team sing about things I'm going to share in my sermon, I feel like, oh, God has got something for us today. Amen? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me for a second. This will be the last time I get you to stand until the end of this sermon. Unless you're lucky, then maybe I'll get you up again. So I want to introduce a sermon like this. Today, I feel that God is inviting us to encounter Him and experience more of His glory. Anyone want to experience more of God? Churches over the years have often tried to simplify the gospel message in order to relate to certain people and to reach the lost and to communicate the things of God to people who do not know the things of God. In doing this and trying to simplify things, oftentimes, the churches over the years have dulled down the awesomeness and the glory of our God in order to relate to these people. The danger of doing this is that in trying to water down how amazing and glorious and powerful and holy and mighty our God is, the danger in doing these things is that people approach the presence of God with complacency and apathy. And they lack reverence for His glory. There is spiritual forces around the world today that want to put the church to sleep. There are spiritual forces actively trying to put you to sleep and to try and water down your fire for the gospel, your fire for the presence of God and to walk and know Him. And so today, we as a church want to make a stand and believe that the Spirit of God would drive out all complacency, all apathy, all slackness from our heart, that when we approach God, we would approach Him with reverence, with humility, with honor, with courage, with love burning in our hearts. Amen? So today I want to pray, and I want you to stand with me in prayer, however you want to do that. So Lord, we come before Your presence this morning. Oh Holy Spirit, I pray that You would dwell in this meeting today. Lord, burn inside of our hearts. I pray for anyone who might be feeling sleepy in their faith. Lord, wake them up today in the name of Jesus. I pray for anyone whose fire has gone dull. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray today, burn in us. Let a fresh passion for the name of Jesus arise in our hearts, that we, Lord, would live to bring You all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. We give You glory today, and I ask in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, drive out all complacency from our hearts. Drive out all apathy in Jesus' name. And may we not be a slack church, may we not be a dull church, but may we be a bright and shining, burning flame in our city. In the name of Jesus, a faith-filled church said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, take your seats. Wonderful. Thank You, Jesus. Come on. Well, I remember starting my journey of faith, and I think I knew about God ever since I was a little boy, but something changed when I encountered God, all right? How many people have had an experience with God? You've confronted God before. You know what it's like. Something changes when you go from just believing in a religion to actually experiencing and encountering the Lord. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good, amen? And I remember something changed in me when I encountered the presence of God for the first time. It woke me up. It woke me up. Oh, I recognized that in spite of all of my mess, in spite of all of my sin, God saw me and He loved me and He called me into relationship with Him. That blew me away. And can I tell you, years later, I have been constantly blown away by the awesomeness of my God. We as Christians are called to live like that. It saddens me when I hear stories of men and women of great faith who over the years, their flame has gone dull. Their light has gone dull. Their passion for the presence of God has gone dull. And they feel like they've seen it all, they've experienced it all, they've read it all in the Bible, and now they're just dull, complacent, slack towards the presence of God. Who knows, as people of God, we are called to continually grow. We are called to continually level up in the Spirit. The Bible says that we would move from glory to glory, that we would constantly grow in our revelation of Him and who He is. And when you stop growing in your revelation of Him, you stop growing in your awe and wonder of Him as well. So I pray for our church often in these prayer meetings at 5 p.m. I've been praying consistently, Lord, give us fresh revelation of who You are. And today I want to bring to you a fresh revelation of God. And so the title of my message today is called The Light of the World. Turn to your neighbor and say, the light of the world. Awesome, the light of the world, the light of the world. So when we talk about the glory of God, we've got to ask ourselves, what is the glory of God? So I want to share with you this. The glory of God is the beauty of His Spirit. It is not just an aesthetic beauty or a material beauty, but it's the beauty that emanates from His character, which is good. From all that He is, it emanates His glory. The glory of man and human dignity and honor fades away, and it compares nothing to the glory of God, which is manifested in all of His attributes together and never passes away. The glory of the Lord is eternal, amen? Moses requested of God this when he was on Mount Zion. He said, now, Lord, show me Your glory. In Exodus 33, we read about that. He says, now, Lord, show me Your glory. And in response, God equates His glory with all of My goodness. All of My goodness. And God said, you cannot see My face, for no one shall see Me and live. So God hid Moses in the cleft of a rock to protect him from the fullness of God's glory as it passed by. That can be found in Exodus 33, verse 21. No mortal can view God's excelling splendor without being utterly overwhelmed. The glory of God puts the pride of man to shame. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14 to 16 says this, goes on to say that you keep His commandments without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing. Verse 15 it says, which He will manifest in His own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortality, dwelling in unapproachable what? Light. Whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be the honor and everlasting power forever. It's saying Jesus is dwelling in unapproachable light. The Bible says that God wears light as His garment. The Bible says that there are rays and flashes of light that beam forth from His hands. The Bible says that God is an all-consuming fire. What else is an all-consuming fire? What are some things we know today are an all-consuming fire? Anybody? The sun? The sun? Pato's like, the sun. Thanks, bro. The sun. However, the sun, even the sun, did you know this? Even the sun has dark spots. He has no dark spots. Even the sun has dark spots. Listen to this. This is Paul's account when he stands before King Agrippa. He shares about the experience he had on the road to Damascus where he encountered the light of the world. Listen to what he says here. Acts chapter 26, verse 10 to 15. Saul, whom we now know as Paul, shares about his redefining encounter with Jesus that changed his identity in front of King Agrippa. He says this in verse 10. I'm going to read start from verse 10. I don't know what's on the screens, but it says this. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. He's saying, I am the one who has gone out on the streets and ordered for these Christians, these Jesus followers to be killed. This was how evil Saul's heart became. He thought he was doing good for God, but he was deceived. He thought he was doing God's will by casting these Christians, by slandering against the people of God, by slandering against the apostles and the prophets who were doing God's will. He didn't understand, he was deceived. And so he had to have an encounter with God that shook him up. It says this, and I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And now it kicks off verse 12. While thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission from the chief priest. Verse 13, this is the good part. At midday, where's the sun at midday? In the sky. How bright do you think it is? In the Middle East. At midday, very bright. But listen to what he says. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Saul has this encounter with Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It knocked him off his donkey. The power of God knocked Saul so hard off his donkey, it took the S off his name and slapped a P there. The power of God transformed him in that moment as he encountered the glory of the Lord. That was a joke. That's not how it happened. He got knocked off his donkey because he saw a light. Not just him, but the people in whom he was around and who were accompanying him on the journey fell down in the presence of this light. Can you imagine? This light was so bright, it blinded him. It blinded him. He didn't get his sight back until a man of God in the name of Jesus laid hands on him for his healing. This is how bright the light and the glory of God is. Some people have argued before if falling over in the presence of God is biblical. Well, here you see that someone fell over in the presence of God. And not just him, but many people did. Fell over right off his donkey. I wonder what the donkey did. The prophet Joel said this, when Jesus returns, the sun would be dark. In Acts chapter 2, verse 20, reshares the account. Verse 20, it says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm so glad that our God in all of his grace says, anyone who calls on the name of our Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter how sinful you are. Doesn't matter if you're persecuting Christians. Doesn't matter if you're calling Christians to death. If you can experience and if you can believe in the goodness of God and the grace of God and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Let me try and explain a concept to you that I heard from another preacher. It's the difference between greater light and lesser light. Somebody say greater light. And lesser light. Greater light and lesser light. It talks about the sun being turned to darkness. Now, could we dim the lights? Katrin, could you help? Could we dim the lights a little bit in this place? And maybe a couple people, you could turn on your phone light for a second and just face it this way. Quickly, quickly, quickly. If you have a phone light, you can turn it on. So at nighttime, If you go out on a clear, not so cloudy day and you look up into the sky, what do you see around you? Talk to me this morning. What do you see around you? What else do you see? The moon, satellites, planets, solar systems. You see an element of something that would be quite glorious, would you agree? I don't know about you, I like sitting outside when I'm camping around a campfire and just looking up into the stars and being like, wow, how glorious. What's out there? Interesting, curious, beautiful, glorious. But then about 5:30 a.m. in the morning, something happens in the sky. A greater light enters the scene. And something starts to change. You can turn your phones down now. A greater light enters the scene. The stars do not lose their light. The stars do not disappear. The moon doesn't vanish into a void or a black hole. What happens to the sky? A greater light enters the scene. Amen? Greater light and lesser light. A greater glory shines in the sky. The greater light consumes the lesser light. The glory of the stars is one level, but the glory of the sun, another level. And the sun darkens the light of the other stars. When Jesus returns, the light that comes forth from him, that glorious, unapproachable light that emanates from his character and nature will make the sun look dark in comparison to the glory of his face. I wonder, I speculate, if the sun would not actually lose its flame, but instead a greater light would enter the scene. I don't know about you, but I can't look at the sun for too long because it is bright. But when Jesus returns, the glory that shines forth from him would make the sun look dark in comparison to his glory. Why am I telling you this? Because this is the glory of the God we serve. He is the light of the world. John the Revelator said in Revelation chapter 21, when he saw a vision of heaven, he says, I did not see a temple in that city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb was its temple. The city does not need the sun, nor does it need a moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Oh man, if you only knew about the glory of the God that you serve, if you truly knew the glory, the majesty, the splendor, the awesomeness of the God that you serve, it would be very hard to keep your hands in your pockets while worship is going on. If you had a revelation of the God that you serve, you would love to pick up a vacuum on a Sunday morning and come in early and prepare the space for people to encounter him. If you knew the glory of the God that you serve, you would love to join the kids ministry and share about this awesome God to these young kids who don't know him yet. If you knew about the glory of the God that you serve, when you walk home into your family home, you would treat the atmosphere different because you know the presence of this glorious King is in the room. If you knew truly, if we knew, if we truly had a revelation of the awesomeness of God, we wouldn't be so slack in approaching his presence. If only you knew. It's a greater light. You know, I had a moment when I was confronted with darkness. I had a friend call me a few years ago, late at night. It's about 12:05 a.m. And I wouldn't usually answer the phone, but I had this sense of concern and urgency in my heart. So I answered the phone, said, what's going on? And he's crying and yelling into the phone, enraged. One of the comments he made was, give me one reason why I shouldn't end it all right now. And I said, stop, where are you? Let me come to you right away. He said he was in the park and he claimed that he was holding a knife. And so I started to drive and I drove to the park, wasn't far away, so I got there quickly. And he came and jumped in the car with me and he sat there and he was enraged and he was yelling. I could smell alcohol on his breath. He downed a whole bottle. And I could smell it on his breath. It was gross. It was potent. He's a Christian man, but now in the passenger seat of my Triton Ute with the windows foggy because it was cold that night. He's there and he's yelling at me and telling me how upset he is with his life, telling me that about an issue that happened with a girl and one of his friends, and he's enraged. And all of a sudden, this man who I knew, and this young man who I knew was a good man and who loved God, started to curse the name of Jesus. He started to swing swear words towards the name of Jesus Christ. And I knew that that was not how he usually behaved. And he starts swearing at the name of Jesus. And I said, "Oi, look at me in the eyes." And all of a sudden, as he turned to me, his eyes were bulging, they were red, and I could see darkness within him. Whatever had happened in the lead up to that event, he had let an unclean spirit get inside of him, and there was a spirit of rage that was within him. My gosh, I don't care what your theology is, but in that moment, you better know a greater light. When your friends are in need, when your family is in need, when someone's sick, when someone's possessed by a demon, when someone is reaching out and needing salvation, needing help, you better have a greater light within you. And I'm so thankful I did in that moment. I looked him in the eyes, I said, "Grab my hand." And he's screaming and he started yelling at me. His teeth were growling. His eyes were bulging out of his head. He's screaming. I grabbed him by the hand and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every unclean spirit of rage, get out of him in Jesus' name." And all of a sudden his rage turned to tears and started sobbing like a young little boy. And he started to cry and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And the presence of God filled my Triton Ute. What once felt like fear in my ute, now all of a sudden the presence of God and the peace of God came into that moment. There is a greater light, ladies and gentlemen, and you need to know it, because there is a world out there who is living in darkness, who are bound and gripped by fear, and they need you to know about the light of the world. They need you to know about the light of the world. One of the things that confuses us sometimes when we talk about the glory of God is we think, well, how come Moses couldn't look at God because he was too glorious, but then other people in the Bible got to see the glory of God? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there was people in the Bible who met with the Lord face to face. People like Joshua, people like Abraham. They had their own experiences talking to the Lord. So why did Moses have an experience where he could not see God in all of his glory? I want you to explain it like this. How many people watched the coronation of the king a few weeks ago, right? Can you imagine the moment? Imagine if it happened here on stage. Imagine if we had a king in Mackay. And there's this throne right here on the stage. All of the people in the crowd are waiting to see the king. The king's backstage getting ready to come out. And you know what happens? The herald would be there. And they say, "All hail the king." And everyone knows how to respond in reverence, in respect, in humility. The king approaches the stage and he's clothed in his gold cape. He's got his crown, his gold crown on his head. He's shining, he looks majestic. He looks equipped, he looks ready for the moment. He is the king and he sits on his glorious throne, and all the people respond in reverence and in respect and in awe of the king in the room. In that moment, there is no mistaking, out of all the people in the room, there's no mistaking who the king is. It's very obvious who he is. But let's say the king wakes up on a Tuesday morning, Saturday morning, let's say, and wants to go down to the markets. He's probably not gonna walk around in his golden cape, is he? But let's say he wants to just have a normal experience and connect with some people. He might wear a white polo shirt, maybe wear his golf cap, maybe some sneakers, and he walks into the marketplace. Can you imagine how many people would pass him by and not show him any respect, any reverence, any honor, and they'd completely miss and not know the fact that there is a king in their presence. There is a king in their presence. See, there are degrees of glory. The scripture talks about degrees of glory. And the king has taken off his glory in order to walk amongst his people. In the scriptures, we see this Jesus, when he resurrected from the grave, resurrected in power. To some, he revealed himself in glory. To others, he walked alongside them and they didn't even know who he was. Some of the ladies thought he was a gardener. Some of the other people in the town thought he was just a traveler on the road. Some of his disciples didn't even recognize him because he was not clothed in that moment in all of his glory. Let me tell you, friends, I pray that you'd meet Jesus face to face, not just when you get to heaven, but here on earth. I pray you'd have encounters with him face to face. But you better be aware that if you were to encounter our Lord God Almighty in all of his glory, you would not be able to open your eyelids. You would not be able to stand. You would fall down in his presence and worship him because he is the light of the world and he dwells in unapproachable light. This is the King of glory. One day Jesus declared to his people and he said this, John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What is he saying? He's revealing himself as the answer that humanity is looking for. He is revealing himself as the cure to darkness, to the darkness of sin that plagues the world. He is revealing himself as the source of enlightenment. He is revealing himself as the way, the truth, and the light. He is saying, I am the light of the world. I am the truth. I am the answer that humanity has been looking for. He is the light of the world. I don't think Jesus is saying you will never walk through darkness again. But I think what he's saying is when you approach darkness, when you walk through darkness, you will have a greater light within you. I don't think he's saying hide in the church, never go out into the world, never reach the lost, stay in your own little Christian bubble and live in the light. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying when you go, you will have a light within you and you won't walk in darkness alone. You will have the light of life within you. Jesus is the light of the world. But then later, he proclaims something profound. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, I love this. Jesus says to his people, now you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The light of the world now says, you are the light of the world. Can we dim the lights one more time? This is my closing statement. Alyssa, can I please have this big mirror? Because I think Ben needs to take a good hard look at himself. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? It means that God in his grace, come on somebody, God in his grace, who dwells in unapproachable light, by his grace gives you an opportunity to shine forth his light. And I tell you what, when his light gets on you, people will notice. When his light gets on you, people will see it. Something will change. When his light gets on you, the darkness starts to fade. When his light gets on you, demons tremble. When his light gets on you, the things that have held you back for so long suddenly go dim in the glory of his wonderful face. He is the light of the world. But he is calling you today, church, to be the light of the world too. I'm amazed by this. Ben shared it beautifully in the communion message. This God that we serve, humbled himself to walk among us. Humbled himself. He says he doesn't want to dwell in a temple made by hands. He wants to dwell in his people, that we would be his temple. He doesn't want his glory to be on a church building. He wants his glory to be on the hearts of men and women. He wants you to reflect his image to this world. Today, church, I pray. I was praying this morning, I pray again today, that you would not just kindle a little light. You know, I know we used to sing that song in Sunday school, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Stuff that for one moment. The Bible does not say you have a little light within you. It says you have a great big light, the light of the world. If you believe you only have a little light, then all you're gonna shine is a little light. God wants you to shine the light of the world and not put it under a basket. Don't be a basket-headed Christian. Let your light shine. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. He is the light of the world, the answer to everyone's problems that is seeking hope and healing. He is the answer, and you've got it within you. You have a responsibility to let it shine. This is the glory of the God that we serve. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to pray and get in the presence of this glorious light. Thank you, Jesus. Worship team, whatever you would like to do. Here's what I want to do right now, church. I want to give you an opportunity today in response. The response is not for anyone else. It's not for me. The response is a step of faith to say, God, I am breaking free from even the slightest ounce of slackness, even the slightest ounce of complacency, even the slightest ounce of apathy towards your presence. I'm gonna give you a moment after we pray. Actually, we'll do it right now. If you feel in your heart a conviction and a burning within you to say, you know what, God, I wanna step out of this. I wanna step out of any slackness that I've been feeling lately. I'll tell you what, I've responded to this altar call first. I've responded first. In my bedroom, I got before the Lord on my knees and I cried out to God and I said, God, I'm so sorry for approaching your presence with apathy. I'm so sorry for acting like your presence is not with me everywhere I go and I can just do whatever I want. I'm so sorry, Lord, for not treating you with the majesty and the glory and the honor that you deserve. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. Right now, if that's you, if you feel like you've been holding back your honor for the Lord and you've been feeling like you've been a little bit stuck, then by faith, I want you to take a step forward. If you want to step forward in the altar, if you want to get out of your seats, it's not for me, it's not for your friends, it's not for the pastors, it's a sign to God to say, Lord, I am not going to be held back anymore. I'm not going to allow this thing to hold me back anymore. I'm stepping forward. If you struggle to walk and you're in this room and you want to make a stand, just lift your hands. If you can't get out of your seats, just lift your hands. If you want to receive a greater revelation of the glory of God, lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I know that when I wrote this sermon and when I prepared for this moment, that God, you wanted to wake up your church, that you wanted to set a fire in our hearts that would not be quenched by the busyness of this world, that Lord, we would be more obsessed with your presence than our business, that Lord, we would be more obsessed with your presence than our problems, that Lord, we would worship you and give you honor and glory in spite of any situation or season we walk through. So right now, with hands raised all across this place, God, we come before you. Give us a fresh revelation of your glory, of your awesomeness, of your power and love, of your humility, of your grace. Lord, we want to be marked by you. We want to shine your light in a dark world. Fill us, Lord, with the light of the world. Fill us with a revelation afresh today. Right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me, church. Can we repeat this all together? Jesus, I declare you are the light of the world, and I want you to live in me. I want to reflect your light everywhere I go, not just on Sunday, but every day. Fill me with a fresh revelation of your awesomeness, O God. I declare Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Glory. Today I renounce the spirit of apathy. In Jesus' name, I renounce the spirit of complacency. In Jesus' name, I renounce all slackness when it comes to your presence. Lord, fill me afresh with your glory, with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Jeez, I want us to sing this morning and just believe for the Holy Spirit to wash over you afresh today.